Next on BYUSN, the non-conference schedule is out for BYU men's hoops. We'll walk through it game by game and discuss what stands out. Plus, sharpshooter Trevin Nell and assistant coach Chris Burgess will join us in studio to discuss the schedule and how summer workouts have been so far.
Of course, there's football. This is BYU Sports Nation. Connor Pay, the starting center, gives us a look into that offensive line, how it's improved and where it's improved, and what he's seeing from Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff, and which Cougar had the best showing in the NFL preseason over the weekend. And you know what? There were more than a few.
Yeah, it was a good weekend for Cougars in the NFL preseason. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Monday, August 12th. My name is Jason Shepherd, and this is a man who loves a denim jacket. He is Dave McCann.
I'm not sure when the last time in my life that I owned something that was denim other than jeans, but if...
Really? You never rocked the denim jacket?
No.
Really?
But if there was anyone who could bring denim back, mm-hmm. We have Demon here on the basketball team.
Yes.
Now we're talking
Yegor Demon, yeah. And you not wearing denim.
Denim, yeah. The Nakuas.
Yes.
So take a look at this jacket Puka's mom was sporting over the weekend. He didn't play in the Rams preseason game, but he is all about the Rams and... And there it is.
That's awesome.
Hey, Mama, that's the Puka Nakua denim jacket. Sure to be the rage.
I will never forget. I'm trying to remember the year that it was. It was late elementary school, early junior high. I had a denim jacket that had a, I'm assuming, faux leather collar.
Okay, I can see that.
One of my favorite jackets I've ever had. I thought I was about it. I thought it was not going to get any better than that.
You were one of the cool kids, if that's what you were wearing.
No, I was not. We don't need to get into that. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
We know the layout of the games before they take on Big 12.
Whether we're ranked here or we're ranked there, picked this, we can climb the mountaintop just as well as anybody else.
To say that there is a lot of anticipation for the upcoming basketball season and new head coach Kevin Young in his first year as the head coach of the Cougars, that would be an understatement. One of the things we've been waiting on is what the schedule is going to look like. And we've sort of seen unofficial pieces here and there. But as we mentioned, the official non-conference schedule for the BYU Cougars was just released. So let's walk through it game by game. And we will start with the exhibition game that will be played against Colorado Christian coming up on October 30th. It'll be the first time that we will actually get to see Kevin Young is BYU's head coach. For the first time, we get to look at this team, and that will be, even though it's exhibition, it's certainly one that everybody will be paying attention to.
It'll be the highest watched basketball game in the history of BYU TV to have that exhibition game. And then let's get into November. And Cougar Nation, no one loves announcements more than Cougar Nation.
So
here we are. It is officially announced. This is what November is going to look like for the Cougars. The opener is on election night against Central Arkansas. And then UC Riverside, November 8th. November 8th, the day before the BYU-Utah football game up in Salt Lake. What a week of sports that's going to be in early November. And then November 13th, the Marriott Center against Queens. November 16th, Idaho is here. That's the same day that Kansas is playing football here, so it's doubleheader day in Provo. And then on November 23rd, after a week off, Mississippi Valley State at the Marriott Center. That's the same day as BYU at Arizona State in football, so we'll see how the schedule makers work that one around. November 28th, things get a little tougher. Thanksgiving night, Ole Miss and BYU, and then the following day, the Cougars will face either Purdue or NC State in that Rady Children's Invitational, those two games in San Diego. That there is your month of November.
All right, let's move on to the month of December. The first game being played in that month will be December 3rd at Providence, and this is BYU's only true road game of the non-conference. On December 11th, the Cougars will welcome the Bulldogs of Fresno State to the Marriott Center. This will be a fun one. I love these games at the Delta Center. December 14th, the Wyoming Cowboys will be playing in downtown Salt Lake City against the Cougars at the Delta Center. This game originally was set to be played in Laramie, but that game was able to be moved to the Delta Center. And then on December 20th, Florida A&M to close it out before beginning Big 12 play either December 30th or December 31st. So that gives you, from the exhibition all the way through the non-conference, Dave, what stands out to you about this non-conference schedule?
Yeah, I love the Delta Center game, and it's against Wyoming because there's a history there, and it'll be fun for fans to go up to Salt Lake and play in the home of the Jazz. In some ways, kind of a magical night. The three meet games are good. They're different from last year because none of the three are at the Marriott Center. And there's a running theme of the format for this year's schedule and how they did last year.
Yeah.
And we're going to break it down for you here in just a moment. But at Providence will be tough. And then, of course, Ole Miss and either Purdue or NC State neutral. Those are the big three. Those are the RPI games.
Yeah.
You go 2-1 through those three. If you go 3-0, all of a sudden you are knocking on the door of the top 25, if not in the top 25. And then the Big 12 schedule comes where it's quad ones almost every night. And we learned last year, you don't have to win all the quad one games. You just have to play them, win enough, and you're in the top 25 all season in a good spot for a tournament seed at the end of it.
Well, and that's what really last year was a perfect example of I think the model, and it's not just BYU. I think this is what most teams are, if they haven't already gone to it, will start to go to it. And it's getting teams on the schedule that, number one, you should beat. But also, if you start to look really, really good, it can, you know, your rankings, your ratings, the algorithm will start favoring you a little bit more, and you can start climbing those rankings because of the way that you're playing, regardless of the level of opponent. And when you look at last year's schedule versus this year's schedule, basically what you're doing, because you have a lot of teams that BYU should beat.
Right.
You have your tournament games that you're going to play just like last year. Maybe the one thing, BYU hosted San Diego State last year. This year you're going on the road at Providence. Those are probably the same game, just obviously a different scenario, but
right.
That's kind of the same type of game.
Yeah.
So I like the model, and here's a look at last year's non-conference schedule. I mean, look, Houston Christian, Southeast Louisiana, Morgan State, you know, Evansville, Denver. But BYU handled their business. They weren't dinged because they were playing teams that most people weren't aware of.
Yeah, if you were supposed to win by 20, they won by 25.
Exactly. And so I love the model that BYU is continuing with here in this non-conference schedule.
Last year was a magical year. We're going to ask Trevin Nell here in a few minutes because he's been on some good teams. We'll ask him to compare the talent of this year's group with the teams that he's played on, including last year. Not if this year's team's better than those other teams, because that's proven on the floor.
Yeah.
But in the gym, you either have it or you don't. I'm curious to hear his answer.
Well, the interesting thing, too, that we saw on last year's schedule, you had Utah on the schedule. Now, you still have Utah on the schedule. It's just different circumstances. Now you're going to play them twice later in the year in the conference. So you still get to play the Utes. It's just different.
One thing, too, that I like about this schedule, and with all the newness, from right at the top with the head coach through the roster, there are a handful of games where BYU can run out 9 different lineups.
Yeah.
There are opportunities to experiment, and we look at it again if we can, the non-conference for this coming season. There are experiment games where you can go, hey, you know what, I'm going to try him at center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to move him to the outside. I'm going to start all these guards. And that's what I like, and that's, I think, the genius of this schedule. And Nick Robinson had something to do with it because a number of these games were booked before the previous staff left, and then Chris Burgess kind of got in there and finished it off. But I like a lot of these matchups for what BYU is trying to do. Not necessarily, oh, hey, it's Queens tonight. This is going to be a mega matchup. It's what is BYU going to do with this most unique roster tonight?
Right.
And that, I think, is must-see TV for Cougar Nation.
Well, we're also seeing now year two in the Big 12. If BYU were still in the West Coast Conference, non-conference looks completely different because you have to schedule up if you're trying to get some of those quad two wins, quad one wins. You've got to schedule completely different. Now, the fact that you have so many quad one games in conference, you don't need to go out of your way to get any of these teams necessarily in the non-conference, because you're going to play a quad one or quad two just about every night in the Big 12.
Just saw Dawson Baker in one of those highlights. Throw him in as a newcomer.
Absolutely.
You know, just a few games last year before surgery. But is there pressure on this group against this kind of schedule? Or is it just more intrigue of, you know, let's go see what we got?
I think there will be, there will certainly be pressure. Because of the sheer excitement and the talent level that has come into this program,
and every day we're talking about sellouts.
Yeah, we're talking about this five-star recruit and this top 30 recruit and this, you know, X number of top 100 ESPN players. That alone is going to ramp up expectations. But I think most people realize that it's not what this team looks like in November and December ultimately. It's what they look like in February going into March and the Big 12 tournament and hopefully then the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and chemistry is everything. And that's what really takes a team to the next level.
Yeah.
I mean, NC State, when BYU beat NC State, and then when NC State marched through the NCAA tournament, those are two different teams. But the Wolfpack chemistry had developed and hit at the right time. And all of a sudden, guys were making plays. And we saw that for BYU during the bulk of the season, where the chemistry was such, where they go into Lawrence and beat Kansas. Baylor comes here and they beat Baylor. That you only get to see as it plays out, right? That can't be on the roster going, we got all this chemistry looking down at these players. And so I think that there again, this schedule is going to allow for the development of that. Yeah. We'll ask Trevin about chemistry and practice and how that's going. We hear it's great. But you got to throw in an opponent and then kind of see when things get tough, we're still together.
Well, I like the point you made about, you know, we know it's still about development with such a young team, but I like what you brought up in terms of the opportunity to put out a couple of different lineups. And look, you may have a different lineup in the first half and in the second half. You have the opportunity to be able to sort of tweak things and try things. And look, and some of that is maybe you have the luxury of doing that because you've got so many guys that can play multiple positions. But the other part is you really want to see with all these young guys where they fit best when the games actually count.
Right, like Idaho. Hey, maybe Yegor Demon is the point guard. All of a sudden there's a 6'9 point guard out there because you can try it out.
Yeah.
See what it does. He's a combo guard, so we can move around. You know, where is Nell going to find the most shots on which night? And then now he gets extra minutes, or Dallin Hall, or Richie Saunders, or Kaba. You know, what night is he going to be most effective inside, or do we put Foose in there and have him play a little outside? I love the, and you know the staff's in there thinking about it, because it's like us putting our fantasy football lineups together. You just go through all the scenarios and go, oh, wouldn't this be good, or wouldn't that be good? And then they have a schedule that's allowing them to try it out.
All right, our question of the day is this. What is your favorite game on BYU men's basketball's non-conference schedule? You can weigh in by using hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We will get to your responses coming up a little bit later on in the program.
That was just released.
You know,
as we announced it, everyone else got it too. And so now it's out there, and we imagine comments will come flying.
Well, and honestly, the next thing that now we're waiting on is when the conference schedule comes out. And by, I would assume within the next month, we'll have the conference schedule. And now we know that BYU's playing 20 games. And it goes back to my point. Now you have two more games than what you had last year. You're bringing in programs like Arizona into the conference. Yeah. So your need for scheduling quad ones in your non-conference schedule is just, it's not necessary.
One interesting note, too, to put a cap on that before we get to the guys. The non-conference slate ends on December 20th. Typically, there are a couple of holiday games after Christmas, but with the 20 games in the Big 12, that's eliminated that.
Yeah.
So conference play will start there before the new year. And so if you're looking for, hey, we usually go down to a game on the 27th with everybody for $5 ticket night, that's not going to happen this year because of the Big 12 starting earlier. So there's one nuance to the conference.
And I believe our producer Colton said that last year that the Big 12 schedule was released on the 26th of September. So maybe a little more than a month if you go on that. But I think last year it actually was drawn out a little bit more than what they had originally wanted. I would not be surprised if it is earlier than that this upcoming season.
Fun to talk hoops.
Yes,
we also like talking football. Tomorrow night, after further review, is at 7 Eastern time. On the BYU TV app, the latest from fall camp. We'll take a deep dive into the impact players Kalani will be counting on beginning August 31st. AFR tomorrow on the BYU TV app.
Up next, we'll continue breaking down BYU's non-conference schedule with Trevin Nell and assistant coach Chris Burgess. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
It's interesting how much emphasis you have to put on non-conference.
I think from a confidence standpoint, I think that could really help BYU go into conference play. BYU, I think, can help itself significantly in getting on a roll.
Everybody knows what we got to do.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I'm Jason Shepherd along with Dave McCann, and it's time to talk some hoops. The non-conference schedule was released earlier today for the BYU basketball team, and we're happy to have assistant coach Chris Burgess as well as the shot doctor, Trevin Nell, joining us here in Studio B. Guys, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
I'm excited to be here.
It's good to be talking hoops.
Yeah, that's right.
The excitement level for hoops is through the roof. Now that you've got some of this stuff that's now public with the non-conference schedule, I mean, what's the excitement level inside the program? We know what it is outside, but you guys are practicing and getting everything ready. What's the excitement level for you guys?
I mean, every time you have like a change in the program with the coaching staff, right, you never know what to expect, right? But I think that the momentum that Coach Young has kind of done with this team has got the people excited. Obviously, Trevin coming back, Dallin coming back, Richie and Foos coming back, and then adding some pieces to fill in some holes for people that have left. Right. And then, you know, just some of the things that we've done, right? This off season and the summer has been really good. Just Trevin getting to know us and the coaching staff getting to know the players and, you know, figuring that stuff out, being on the recruiting trail. It's been a lot of fun. Right. And so, like you just said, this non-conference schedule being done is kind of the last thing to check off.
Let's put that schedule up as we introduce the Trevin Nell farewell tour, right? this is the swan song season. So as you look at these non-conference games, what jumps off the page to you, Trevor?
I mean, just from what we learned last year, like every game is going to be a dogfight. And so we just take every game by game. But it's going to be super fun to be able to, you know, be coached by Burge again, be coached by, you know, these high level guys and be able to go out there with my team again. But again, some games that pop out are, you know, when we go to San Diego, when we go play, you know, Providence. So it's going to be really fun for sure.
Well, and I think last year was a perfect example of what the non-conference can do for a team. And you guys gained so much confidence, and you really got on a roll, and you had big wins over San Diego State and NC State, and it really did propel you into the Big 12. So with that in mind then, Coach, take us through the construction of this and what went into putting this non-conference together.
Well, you know, when we walked into it, we knew right away there was going to be 20 regular season conference Big 12 games, where last year was 18. So right away you're getting two more high level games, right? And so, and then you have the two tournament games. So we knew right away we wanted to find a mix of teams that could help us prepare for the Big 12, the physicality, right, the speed of it, how often they guard, like how often they pick you up. And so we wanted to get prepared for that. Also find a mix of teams that we can throw different lineups out there, right, and figure out what works, right, especially some of the younger guys building some confidence, right? We're not worried about guys like Trevin because Trev's done it at the highest level for 7-8 years now, right? And so we wanted to make sure we got a mix of everything. We're excited about some old rivalry games, right? Having Fresno State show up here,
right?
Playing Wyoming, kind of adjusting that game, but getting Wyoming in the Delta Center, right? So some Mountain West kind of older rivalry. So we're excited about the schedule that allows us to do a number of things, prepare for that December 30th, December 31st tip-off date in the Big 12.
It seems to mirror last year in that there was San Diego State, but that game was at home. You got Providence on the road.
Yeah.
And then there were the two games in Vegas. You got the two games in San Diego.
Yeah.
Those three games are really the core of your RPI, which then next thing you know, you're into the top 25 and you hang around there for a while.
Yeah, that's right. I think Providence is probably going to be a quad one, and one of the two of those games in San Diego are going to be quad one, we think. But honestly, we didn't even think about that as we were preparing in the non-conference. We just felt like when you have 20 Big 12 games, you're going to get enough quad ones and quad two opportunities to try to really, really build your net. All right. But at the end of the day, we wanted, it was more about us preparing and getting ready for the Big 12 as opposed to, you know, focusing on quad one, quad one. We knew that was going to take care of itself just with the schedule that was already presented to us.
What did you learn from the Big 12 last year to go right along with Coach Burgess's theory of it's everything to get ready for the end of December when the big games begin?
Yeah, just kind of like what I said. It's like no matter what, you could be up 20, you could be up one, and it's a dogfight till the end, till the last whistle blows. And so we saw that a ton last year with, you know, playing the Big 12 and everything. But again, with, you know, playing NC State, we were down early. We were able to fight back, and then it just kind of helped us prepare for the Big 12. So I'm excited for, you know, what Coach Burgess did with the schedule and to get ready for, you know, 20 quad one games and then some other ones in the preseason.
Could very well be 20 quad.
Absolutely. Burge, you had mentioned, you know, you were able to work things out with Wyoming to get them to come to the Delta Center. I love that game.
Yeah.
That has always been, BYU has played that game for a long, long time. And then for a while it was an in-state tournament. Now, that when that went away, I'm glad that BYU has kept that. And to get a team like Wyoming that you have a history with being in the same conference, that's pretty cool that tradition to be able to play at the Delta Center is still going to be there.
Yeah, for sure. There was a three-year contract started last year that started Provo, and then Laramie was supposed to be this upcoming season, then come back to Provo. And, you know, we kind of looked at our schedule with San Diego gone for a few days and then going straight to Providence and then having to go straight to Laramie. And we were trying to find a marquee kind of Delta Center game that we could put on our ticket. Right, our ticket package. And so we approached them asking if they'd be willing to like kind of adjust the contract, move it back a year. We'll still come to Laramie. Let's start in the 25 season. But would you guys be willing to come to the Delta Center for a year? And we had a relationship, obviously, with their AD and then the new head coach, Sundance Wicks, who's one of the most respected coaches out there, just got the job from Green Bay. And he was all on board. And so we're excited about, you know, that again, that Mount West WAC rivalry coming to the Delta Center. It's going to be fun. And there's, you know, they're actually higher elevation, so there's no real advantage in terms of, you know, a home court in terms of trying to run teams off the floor because they're struggling to breathe in the second half.
Trevin, can you believe that you're sitting here listening to all this, considering back at Woods Cross and Cal and Dave Rose and Mark Pope and now Kevin Young and you're still shooting threes?
Still shooting threes with these guys.
How have you pulled this thing off? And by the way, for the record, you are not the oldest player in Division I.
I'm not the oldest.
There are a couple others that have snuck in.
And hush those.
We can stop that talk right now.
Stop right now. Let's stop it. What's this ride been like for you?
It's been amazing. You know, when I was a freshman coming in, I had guys like Yoli, you know, Zach, and they're always saying, hey, enjoy the ride because it's going to go by super fast. And when I was out there for my first game, I was like, there's no way it's going to go by that fast. Like, we got 30 games a year. You know, it goes pretty much, we play basketball year-round. And it's crazy that I'm going into really my sixth season here. You know, I've had some roller coaster rides, but to be able to play with, you know, the coaches that I have and then play with the guys that I have right now, it's been really special for sure.
When you think about it, what you've gone through, there's big teams winning big games, there's COVID, there's the Big 12, there's being injured and sitting out and having to watch everyone moving forward. It feels like you've had the whole experience.
I've had the whole experience, and, you know, it's really, you kind of see it from a different lens, right? So I'm super grateful for, you know, every opportunity I have. And you can learn so many things by, you know, not playing for a year, by, you know, playing under people and watching the veterans play for a year. Yeah. And then being that veteran, you know, and helping the younger guys. So it's been really cool for sure.
This would be a question for both of you. I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. Coach Young was on a recent podcast with Aaron Torres, mm-hmm. and he was asked about the new guys, but Coach Young quickly said, look, one of the things that all these new guys wanted to know was, hey, are the returning guys going to come back? Yeah. It was important that they were back because they knew what you and Richie and Dallin, you know, Dawson, all these guys that are back, Foos, what that meant to the team. How much have you guys as returning players really enjoyed this new mix and coming into this year?
Yeah, I mean, the new guys are awesome. It's kind of crazy, you know, we went from being, I feel like, one of the oldest teams to like one of the youngest with all the new guys coming in and all the 18-year-olds that are in Provo now. But they have a ton of energy, so it's super fun for us, you know, who've done it for a while, to be able to be surrounded by those guys that have a ton of energy, that want to learn, that, you know, ask questions, and then they'll look to us for like, hey, how do you get past this? Like, what do you see on this play? So it's been, you know, super unique to be able to, you know, be a coach in that kind of situation and be a leader in those situations as well. But yeah, that's their ball of energy, and they want to learn, they want to grow, and they want to hoop. So it's been awesome.
I think that's what makes BYU super special, right? And Trevin's almost like a unicorn in the landscape of college basketball, right? With the transfer portal and guys leaving and doing whatever. Like, Trevin's been through injuries, right? He's been through a guy that probably got a little bit less minutes than he thought he would maybe his freshman year, and he's just stayed the course. He's gotten better. He's grinded. He hasn't just jumped in the portal, right? And he hasn't done things that, like, normal college basketball dudes, or he had success last year and he didn't look for the better opportunity. He was like, nah, this is what this place is about. And I think that's what makes BYU special. And guys like Trevin, right, and Down and Richie and Foose, that's what makes the front of the jersey of BYU mean so much, is because these guys buy in, right? And I've known Trevin a long time. In fact, he's one of the first kids I started recruiting when he was a sophomore, maybe, when I was at Utah Valley. And so I'm super excited to kind of be along for this last year, this last ride for him. But I think that is what makes BYU, is guys like Trevin believe in this place and what it's about, and are willing to put in the work during the ups and the downs, right, as opposed to just take the easy way out at times, right? And I think that's a testament to him and the coaching staff that's been around him.
Yegor was here last week, Yegor Demon, and I thought it was interesting what he said. Here's a kid that's come in that's stamped for the NBA lottery, if it all goes the way the pundits say. But his point was that the senior guys, the older guys, were so important to him and to Canning and the other, the 18-year-olds. And I thought that was an interesting dynamic for the young guys to pick up. As we get all this attention, but really what matters are these guys to help us.
So 100%, I mean, you can take a step further in terms of, like, if you look at an NBA team, like the Spurs organization, right? I don't think guys like Tony Parker or Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili have the careers they have if they didn't have those older guys, those veteran players, those guys to show them what it takes to be a pro, right? So a guy like Yeager or a guy like Cannon are going to benefit with guys like Trevin, right, Dallin, Richie, because they know what it's like to take care of their body. They know what it's like to get in the gym. They know what it's like to put in extra work. They know what it's like to communicate on the court, right? And so these guys want to play with Trevin. First of all, he's a really good player, but he's also going to teach them how to be a pro, and at the same time have balance, right, of basketball, family life, you know, student. He is the full thing when it comes to a student athlete. So that is why these guys are so important when we're on the recruiting trail and we're talking about these guys, right, and what this place means and how they'll help you be better players and achieve your goals.
Yeah.
Over the next little while, obviously with the non-conference now solidified, now we wait for the Big 12 schedule to be released. If you go on when it was released last year, it could be within the next couple weeks. I guess we'll have to wait and find out officially when that comes out. But what's the next month, you know, 2 months look like as you guys gear up for the season?
I mean, it's kind of crazy for me because it's literally my last summer, right? So we got 4 more practices. And I was talking to, you know, Craig Manning, and he was saying, like, hey, and you talk to some guys, like, this could be their first or their last, you know, summer workouts with BYU. So, you know, you can kind of, like, have a whole different perspective when you work out now. So we have this last week, 4 more days of really hard workouts, and then we get a couple weeks off. And then day after Labor Day, we start up again for a couple more weeks where it's, like, the 4 hours a week type thing, and then it's go time. So it's all rules kind of like go away a little bit, but it's going to be super fun to be able to, you know, get into a real legit, you know, 2.5 hour practices where we can really dial in different things.
Let me ask you and put you on the spot for a second. You've been on some good teams here. No one knows how this team's going to be, but as far as talent in the gym, has there ever been more?
Like, I would say no. The talent we have is insane, and it's going to be super fun. I always tell people, like, they're like, how does this team rank against last year's team? And I always say, like, I feel like the way our trajectory is and, like, the way the chemistry is already flowing and how we communicate on the floor, like, it's pretty special. And so it's going to be super fun to step out on the floor and not play against each other anymore, but play against someone else. But yeah, it's really, really special this year.
Nice job, Coach.
Yeah, these guys are competing every day. That's what makes, like, you know, iron sharpens iron, and that's what these guys are doing every single day. And our practices are going to be harder than a lot of our games this year, right? And that's what you want, right? You want your practices to be able to translate over to a game because it's going to be super competitive, right? And so these guys are competing every single day, and that's what we're trying to incorporate every single day in practice is that we're competing. Yes, we're learning, but we're competing.
Assistant coach Chris Burgess, Trevin Nell, guys, it's always good to see and talk, especially now we're talking some hoops. We got some hard dates here with teams. It's all starting to come together. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys. We appreciate it.
We'll give you the BYU Sports Nation karma for the rest of the offseason, too.
Summer karma.
However you can use that, we're going to give it to you right now.
I like it.
Guys, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So we're going to have to wait till November 5th for the season opener for basketball. Not the case for soccer. It's Thursday night. Number 3 BYU, number 19 Wisconsin, 9 Eastern Time on Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
Next, we'll give you our final Cougars in Paris update, and we'll discuss which Cougar in the NFL had the best preseason weekend. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. He's Dave, I'm Jason, and as we continue to celebrate the 100 years of BYU football, we're doing it in trivia fashion. So let's welcome in our producer, Colton Potter, for today's trivia question. What do you got for us today? Don't make it too hard.
All right, today's question. The most points BYU has ever scored in a game was 83 in a win over UTEP in 1980. What is the most points BYU has scored in a loss?
I think I'm going to go 56.
See, that's what I'm thinking, too.
I thought Utah State beat them 58-56 one year.
I actually...
That's what jumps out.
See, for me, it was 55, but I think we're thinking of the same thing. So I'll go with Dave, and we'll go 56, final answer.
You guys nailed it. Utah State beat BYU 58-56 October 30th, 1993.
To this day, no one knows how Utah State scored 58.
Can I ask why we're picking a game in which BYU lost?
Random trivia.
Thank you, Colton.
We'll
see you tomorrow.
All right, well, that's a bummer. Let's get to today's headlines.
58-56. That's nuts. We've seen basketball games that never got to those two scores. All right, Cougars in Paris. Connor Mance, Clayton Young, 8th and 9th in the marathon on Saturday. It was just awesome. Clocking the two fastest times by Americans in Olympic marathon history. Roy Linkletter ran the marathon for Team Canada. He had a top 50 finish at 47. This wrapped up BYU's participants in the Olympics. They finished with a silver medal, a bronze medal, two top 10 finishes, two other runners who made the finals in their event. It was awesome. Great to see.
Yeah, excellent.
Really livened up the game.
Absolutely. Excellent showing by the BYU Cougars. BYU football fall camp rolls on. Head coach Kalani Sitake's team held a closed scrimmage on Saturday. Today will be practice number 10. Also, defensive end Tyler Batty was named to the Bednarik Award watch list, which is awarded to the best defensive player in the country. And sticking with football, RJ Young of Fox Sports has BYU football ranked 48th in his full 134 team power rankings. And CBS Sports has the Cougars ranked 67th in their ranking of all 134 teams.
It feels like a quarterback announcement's going to be made this week.
That would be awesome.
Nothing official, but it just feels like it. Preseason AP Top 25 football poll released just a short time ago. 5 Big 12 teams included in that group. 4 playing at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Oak State is number 17. Kansas State's number 18. Arizona's number 21. And Kansas is number 22. The Utes, who will host BYU in November, they're in at 12. Southern Illinois, by the way, the poll is out for the FCS preseason. They're at number 11. They'll be here later in the month to take on the Cougars at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. That's a top 11 FCS coming to kick things off.
All right. It shouldn't matter at all. BYU men's basketball's non-conference schedule was released this morning. Some notable games on the schedule include the season opener on November 5th against Central Arkansas. You've got 2 games in the Rady Children's Invitational over Thanksgiving, one against Ole Miss and the other against Purdue or NC State. At Providence on December 3rd as part of the Big 12 Big East Challenge, and then wrapping up non-conference play on December 20th against Florida A&M.
Were you proud of all the Cougars over the weekend in the NFL preseason? They got a lot done. Zach Wilson threw for 117 for the Broncos. I thought he looked fantastic. Jaren Hall had a game-winning drive, set up a field goal for the Vikings. Keaton Slovis threw for 39 for the Colts, touchdown drive. Aiden Robbins got a touchdown for the Browns. Chris Brooks, 12 carries for the Dolphins. Jamal Williams got some early season work for the Saints. Samson Nakua picked up a couple of catches for New Orleans.
Elsewhere, Zane Anderson, 3 tackles for the Green Bay Packers. Max Tooley, 2 tackles for the Houston Texans. Michael Davis, a tackle for the Washington Commanders. Chris Wilcox, 1 tackle for the Chargers. And Ryan Rico, 3 punts with an average of 56 yards per punt for the Cincinnati Bengals. I would not be shocked if he makes that roster and is their punter.
Fantastic start for him. Women's soccer, they're ranked number 3 coming into the season. Lost their second straight exhibition game. This was 1-0 to Wyoming back on Friday at South Field. Didn't score in either exhibition match. It all starts for real this Thursday against 19th-ranked Wisconsin at South Field. They got a few days to find some offense.
And BYU men's golfers Max Brenchley, Zach Jones, Cole Ponich, and Tyson Shelley teed off this morning in the U.S. Amateur Championship in Chaska, Minnesota. Those are today's headlines. Now it's time to whip it.
So, which Cougar had the best NFL preseason? We just rolled out the stats.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Look, you mentioned Zach Wilson, and that's immediately, to me, that's the obvious answer. He looked fantastic in the Broncos game against Indianapolis. He looked to be in complete control of the offense. Look, it's never been a talent issue with him. The Jets were horrible. It was a horrible situation. And I'm not saying that he played great all the time, but the talent is there. And you saw that yesterday. It was awesome to see. Unfortunately for him, I just think the Broncos have invested in other areas, whether it's Bo Nix and the draft pick. Stidham appears to be the guy that they're going to go with as the starter. So I loved what Zach Wilson did. He looked fantastic yesterday.
He might be playing for another team.
Yeah.
Right? These are important games for Zach to look good, because if it's not in Denver, it might be somewhere else. He looked like a pro quarterback.
He was fantastic yesterday.
Ryan Rico. Punted 3 times, 56-yard average. He's got of all these Cougars, a lot of them are fighting to make rosters. He's got a legitimate shot with the Bengals. Good start. 3 punts, average of 56 yards.
Hey, BYU kickers going to the Bengals, that's worked out in the past.
Yes, it has.
Lee Johnson.
For a long, long time.
Yes, it did. All right, after the break, Spencer Linton goes one-on-one with BYU offensive lineman Connor Pay about the improvement of the offensive line and his perspective on the quarterback battle. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. After practice last week, Spencer Linton was able to catch up with the Cougars center to discuss the improvement of the offensive line, playing TJ Woods, and what Connor Pay is seeing in BYU's quarterback battle.
Connor, we were just talking about the Olympics and our guy Kenneth Rooks winning the silver medal. I have to ask, if you were to try and compete in an Olympic sport, what would it be?
Definitely not that. I think I'd die in one lap. But Olympic sport. I feel like I'm more built for like one of the lifting ones. Okay. Or like ping pong or something like that. I feel like that'd be the only thing I'd be able to actually compete in.
Okay.
With a lifetime of training.
Connor's ready to take on the Chinese and the Swedes in ping pong. I love it.
Maybe not. I'm not
that bad. Okay. To steal a phrase from the Olympics, we've been hearing the offensive line has had a medal-worthy camp. So how would you feel about that assessment, that things are going well for the offensive line? Because you're probably the toughest critic of your guys in that room.
I mean, I would say I feel like we're doing a really good job for where we're at right now. All right, a week and a half, 2 weeks in. Camp's not over, though. You know, we have a lot more to improve upon today, and the defense threw a lot of blitzes and pressures at us today and forced us to think, tested our rules, and, you know, so we've got definitely have some stuff that we need to clean up. But I feel like we've come out with the right attitude and the right intention, and we're playing hard. And, you know, you can solve – I mean, Coach Woods has a phrase to solve your problems with aggression. And I feel like that's what we've done. Even when we've run into issues, just solve your problems with aggression and good things will happen. So.
You were very outspoken during the offseason and frustrated, obviously, because you knew and felt like you could perform better as a unit and as an individual.
Yeah.
And you spoke specifically on accountability and getting rid of entitlement. How are things going in those two categories for the offensive line?
Really well. Really well. The standard's been set by Coach Woods, and the standard's the same for everybody. And he will hold you to it every single day, regardless of whether you have 40 starts or zero. You know, you can't you know, he doesn't coach everyone the same way because obviously everyone's an individual. That doesn't work, but the standard is the same. You know, you come out and watch practice. If I do something stupid, doesn't matter that I have 40 whatever starts or whatever. He's going to rip me in front of everybody, you know, just like he would one of the young guys who's screwing something up. So the standard is the same. The accountability is there. And I feel like, you know, I feel like that's kind of just seeping through the O-line room and becoming culture now. It was something we kind of had to fight and kind of relearn all offseason long. And I feel like it's starting to become a part of our day-to-day, and it's starting to become automatic for the guys in the room, which is a good thing.
Connor Pay with us on BYU Sports Nation. Speaking of Coach Woods, I asked him to talk about some of the surprises or maybe the guys that have evolved and progressed the most, and he was very quickly pointed out Caleb Etienne. Yeah. What are you seeing from Caleb that has allowed him to take such a significant step from last year to this year?
I think there's a lot of things, but he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. And because he has so many great physical attributes, he's so big and he's so strong that if he just knows what he's supposed to be doing, he can execute it. And I think that's been the biggest thing is Coach Woods and the GAs have been awesome to like help him understand the scheme. And so now he knows what he's doing out here at practice, and it's tough sledding for any DN that has to go against him in those circumstances. So I think he's playing confident right now, and it's been pretty exciting to watch that development happen over the offseason. So
what's that relationship and rivalry like with the guys on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage right now? How would you explain what's happening there on a day-to-day basis?
It's hard to describe just because you're hitting the same people every day for a month straight. It's kind of similar to how spring ball goes. And it's like for guys like Tyler and me, this is 4 or whatever years of hitting each other, you know, like we're sick of each other, right? And it's just there's a lot of banter back and forth. We like to talk a lot of crap. But, you know, the nice thing is I think this team is really mature in the sense that that stuff happens on the practice field. But if you walk in the locker room, there's none of that. And so I think that's most teams, you know, that are mature and understand how it works. It's intense and tempers flare and things happen on the field, but that stays on the practice field. When you walk into the locker room, that's your brother that you're trying to go win games with. And so I think we're doing a good job of that. Like it's definitely chippy. There's been fights and stuff like that, but nothing seeping into the locker room. It's all brotherhood in there.
Great stuff with Connor Pay thus far on BYU Sports Nation. What has motivated you the most of everything that you've heard and read and seen and your own personal frustrations coming off of a losing record last season? What has motivated you individually the most over the last year?
I want to win. Man, that was the first time really in my life I've ever had a losing season in anything. And that was terrible. You know, that was embarrassing. And, you know, I'd never want to feel that way again. You know, that's... You let down a lot of people when you do that. You know, we have a massive worldwide fan base at BYU, you know, because of the connections to the church and all of that, and people all over the world who want us to do well. And when you don't, you're disappointing all of them. And, you know, you can feel that, the weight of that a little bit as a player. And so I just want to win. Yeah, I want to win games. That's what the motivation has been really this entire offseason. And you know, when you win games, everything else takes care of itself. Personal goals, the NFL, your future, all that stuff will take care of itself if you do what you need to do here and win.
I know getting to that winning feeling and executing at a high level, at least part of it involves some really deep study of the playbook and a lot of film review. So take us into the mind of TJ Woods and the offensive line room when you are reviewing film. What clear indicators are you looking for to show we're improving and it's right here?
Yeah. I think there's a couple main things that when we come back to practice every day, and it's like, first and foremost, are we on the right people? And thankfully we had a really good summer mentally understanding the playbook and learning the playbook, spending a lot of time together working on that. And so it's pretty rare for us right now to be on the wrong people. And so then it's now, are you using the right technique for that play in that situation? You know, because, I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize that a linebacker could move 1 yard and that could completely change the technique we use on a play. Or a D lineman could move one gap over and that completely changes who everyone's blocking. And so it's not only who you're blocking, but how you're blocking them. And are you doing it with pad level? Are you doing it with violence? And so that's something that, you know, when we go through practice in the film room every day, those are the things that Coach Woods is constantly harping on. Okay, hey, you got to fix your hand placement here. Why'd you step like this versus this technique? You know not to do that, that type of thing. Do we have the pad level we need to consistently get movement? You know, those types of things seem to be constants.
Let's stay with the film review concept. As you look at the quarterbacks you're working with, Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff are the clear two guys that are battling for that starting spot. But on film and in practice, what are you seeing? And I'm going to ask the same question for both guys.
Yeah.
But what are you seeing that you like most from Gary, first and foremost?
Well, I think from Gary, it just, you can tell he has a lot more confidence in his arm than he did in the spring. He was still finishing up the tail end of that healing process in the spring, so I don't think he fully had the confidence to air it out and let it rip, and he has that right now, and so he's able to rifle it down the field a little better. You know, and his understanding of the offense has improved a lot, and so improved decision making.
Okay, same question for Jake. What do you like that you're seeing from Jake Retzlaff?
Jake's always had, you know, a cannon. He can rip it. But, you know, I think it's similar things in the offseason. This is his second year in the system. Understands the offense, his read progressions a little better, and is able to just, similar thing, make better decisions. Right? Because I think that was the one thing that, you know, he knows it and everyone else knows it, that he wanted to improve upon this offseason was just some of that decision making. And, you know, he did a great job of it in the spring, and I think it's carried over into fall camp that both of those guys are doing a good job making better decisions.
Connor Pays on BYUSN. A couple of quick hitters to finish.
Sure.
If you had to award a man in the offensive line room as the most improved from last year to this year, who would you give that award to?
Caleb, for sure, Caleb.
And now just personality. I asked Coach Woods the other day, if you had to, like, line one of those guys up out wide as, like, a tight end to catch a ball.
He told me about this. He told me about this. Here's the thing. Waylon, I have to give it to him. In the offseason, our lasered like 10 times and stuff. He beat me. He was a little bit faster than I was, so I understand it. What Coach Woods has to remember is that you have to be able to catch the ball. You know, Waylon's used to catching like a rugby ball.
Sure.
But I don't know, that football, sticking that thing, I don't know. I'll have to see if Waybone can do that.
Okay, so you'll
but
get-
no.
Well, okay, so you'll give Waybone the advantage in the speed, but you got the hands.
Yes, I think so. No, way. I hate to admit it, but Waybone deserves that title.
Great stuff. And finally, are you an ice bath guy? Are you going to run and jump in the ice bath right
mandatory.
Now?
Mandatory. Doesn't matter if you're an ice bath guy. I do enjoy them, especially when it's 100 degrees outside. But there's some guys that'll sit there standing on the edge of the freaking, you know, tub thing, like not wanting to get in, and the strength coaches will come and shove them down into the water. Some guys just hate it, but no, it's mandatory. So we got to go over there and do it every day.
Go enjoy your dip in the pool, man.
That's my plan. Come join me.
I'll think about it. And we'll talk about
There's
that later.
There's benefits to a polar plunge, whether you're an athlete or not.
It's true. You give me a lot to think about. Thanks, Connor.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Spend 5 minutes with Connor Pay, you feel like he's your best friend.
By the way, Connor can call him Waybone. Nobody else can.
If you've missed any of our BYU football fall camp coverage, you can find it at BYUSN.com or on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page.
What is your favorite game on BYU men's basketball's non-conference schedule? It was released about 45 minutes ago. We'll talk about it next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, what is your favorite game on BYU men's basketball's non-conference schedule? Let's get our elite voice of the day. It's presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated.
Twiggy or Stone on X. I like the possible games in the Invitational. They have some good warm-up games, and then we'll see how well the team can play against some tougher competition, which I think is the theme of now non-conference, is you got to have a few tough ones in there.
Yep.
But for the most part, it's we got to create some chemistry, bring the guys along, because on December 30th or 31st, when the Big 12 starts, it's next level.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about the level of competition you'll be playing once Big 12 play begins.
You just have had to play enough to where you know your stuff when it starts.
Yep. All right. Today's Rise and Shout Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. We're going to give it to all of the BYU athletes who competed in the Paris Olympics. Kenneth Rooks, silver medal in the steeplechase. Stephanie Rovetti, bronze medal in rugby sevens. Connor Mance, eighth in the marathon. Clayton Young, ninth in the marathon.
There was a shot when those two were running.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Where they gave each other kind of a low five.
Yeah. Well, so cool.
That's cool.
That is very cool. Courtney Waymet, 12th in the steeplechase. Whitney Orton Morgan, 14th in the 5,000 meters. Rory Linkletter, 47th in the marathon. And James Corrigan and Jimmer Fredette gave it their all as well in Paris. Congrats to all of them.
Jimmer gave his tendons.
Yeah.
Team USA, and let's hope they heal quickly.
All right, thanks to today's guests, Chris Burgess, Trevin Nell, and Connor Pay.
Conversation continues, as always, 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Dave, I'm Jason. Shout out to Terry Nashif. We'll be back with you tomorrow, noon Eastern time, right here on BYU TV and on BYU Radio. Don't forget to check us out on the BYU TV app as well. For Dave, I'm Jason. Talk to you tomorrow. Go Cougs!